Well, turning your Bibles to Matthew 17, we're continuing, of course, our study of the Gospel of Matthew. And Matthew presents Jesus as the King of the Jews. And we've been seeing in our study, going verse by verse, passage by passage, seeing some great truths. But we're at the turning point in the life of Christ. The nation has rejected him, and he no longer offers himself as the Messiah. In fact, he told his disciples, and he said, don't tell anybody who I am. Don't tell that anymore. He's on his way to Jerusalem to die and to rise again. And last time we saw one of the most incredible passages in the Bible, and that's where Jesus took three men, Peter, James, and John, up on top of a mountain and transfigured. He was transfigured. He became how he's going to be as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He revealed his glory, and it was just an amazing thing. And there was Moses and Elijah on top of the mountain, and now they're coming off the mountain. And as they come down the mountain, we're going to look at two different things. We're going to see that Jesus answers some questions concerning Elijah, because they bring him up, and he heals a little boy at the very end. We'll see what happens there and how it fits together. Well, one of the great joys of the Christian life is actually studying the Bible and actually getting to dig it and dig the Word of God. And we always tell people we want to know the Bible, apply the Bible, and pass on the Bible. There are a lot of hard parts. In fact, passage this morning is really a hard part, especially when dealing with Elijah. Let's think about something. Let's think about some hard things. What about end time events? What if I said, okay, when is the tribulation? Who is the Antichrist? What's the beast? What's the false prophet? Why is the tribulation 7 years? What is the key of 42 months? Is there a difference between the rapture and the second coming? Where do the prophets, their lives and their messages all fit together? What are the prophets or some of the prophecies concerning the Messiah? And what is the difference in the Old Testament working and the working in the Old Testament of the Holy Spirit and the working of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament? Well, those are just some really hard questions, or a lot of questions. So really, to think about it, it takes the study of the Bible to be able to understand and put together things like this. Well, this morning, we're going to see what I consider is sort of a hard passage. Jesus is talking about Elijah. And they raised the question. They said, don't the scribes say Elijah has to come first? And so we're going to talk about it. And in fact, we see Jesus and the disciples are talking about John the Baptist and Elijah. How do they fit together? In fact, in this passage, Jesus actually says that John the Baptist and Elijah are the same. What does that mean? How did he mean that? What did he mean? And we'll see it as we go through it. Well, last time, the transfiguration, Peter, James, and John saw Jesus as the king. They come down off the mountain, and the disciples raise these questions. And so not only do we see that, but as we continue in the passage, we'll see the healing of a boy. So here's the passage. We're going to put it together this way. Questions concerning Elijah, that's chapter 17, verses 9 through 13, and then the healing of this little boy. And we're going to see, his father calls him a lunatic. What did that mean? Well, that's how it's listed in the Bible. We'll talk about what that means, and the healing of the little boy in verses 14 through 18. So let's look first at questions concerning Elijah as they come down off the mountain. Notice it says, verse 9 of Matthew 17, as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Now, they're coming down from the mountain, and we talked about this last week, that they were on the mountain, and while they're on the top of the mountain, and Jesus is the king, and Moses and Elijah there, Peter said, boy, this is great to be here. Why don't we build three little booths, one for you and Moses and Elijah, Jesus? Let's just stay up on the mountain. And the truth is, you can't stay on the mountain. The mountain is in the glory, and the work is done in the valley. And so they're coming down off the mountain to go back to do the ministry that Jesus has. Jesus has come to die on the cross to pay for sin. A lot of people are confused about who Jesus is and what he's done. Jesus, the Son of God, who came to die to pay for sin and rise again to conquer death and to give eternal life. So they're coming down off the mountain. There's a famous painting by Raphael, which is called the Transfiguration, and he puts two scenes together. He has part of the pictures there on top of a mountain in his glory, and then down below is the confusion. And so that's what he says. And so notice, they come down off the mountain, and Jesus tells them, he commanded them. And by the way, the word command there is a really strong word. He didn't just say, hey, I'd like for you guys not to tell anybody anything. He says, I command you. And Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. So he says, don't tell this vision. Don't tell anybody about what you saw. What did they see? They saw Jesus as the king. They saw Moses and Elijah. They saw the kingdom, what it's going to be like, and the power and the glory of Jesus Christ. But he tells them when they come down, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. In other words, he says, listen, we can't talk about the kingdom right this second because I've got to go and die and rise again. Why did he want to hold off? And one is that he's no longer offering himself to the nation. And that's what we're seeing. We've already seen the switch where he says, don't tell anybody who I am. He's no longer offered himself as the Messiah to the nation of Israel because they've rejected him. He's now going to the cross. The second thing is, I don't think they grasp it. We're going to see all the way through that he talks about his death and resurrection and the kingdom and all of those things. And five different times he says in Matthew that he's going to die and rise again. And every time it says something like, and they were confused, or they didn't completely grasp it, or they didn't completely understand it. And so I think he's saying, just don't talk about what you saw until after I've died and risen again. Well, they're coming down off the mountain, and they've just seen Jesus with Moses and Elijah. Now, what they know is they knew the Bible, these disciples, and they've been with Jesus for close to 3 years now, and they know something about Elijah. In fact, if you went to any of them and you said, what do you know about Elijah? And they said, well, Elijah, he called down fire from heaven. Elijah's the one that defeated the 450 prophets of Baal. Elijah is the one that stood strong when Ahab and Jezebel was there. And so Elijah's amazing. And Elijah's going to come before the Messiah. That's what they would say. And so this is the question they're going to ask. Watch what happens. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, don't tell anybody the vision until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. And his disciples ask him, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? What are they saying? He said, why did the scribes were the scholars. You remember the scribes were the ones that wrote the Bible. When I say wrote the Bible, they copied the Bible. So they'd have a copy of the Bible, and they copied it exactly, letter for letter. There weren't any spaces, by the way, between the letters or the words. There's no spaces. So it was just a long line of letters, and they could read it. We'd mess up if we tried to read it. But these were the scribes. And they became first known because they copied the Bible. But since they copied the Bible, they also knew the Bible. So then if you had a Bible question, you wouldn't necessarily go to a Pharisee. You sure wouldn't go to a Sadducee because the Sadducees didn't believe much of anything. You would go to a scribe. You would go to a scholar and you'd say, what's this? And they said, Jesus, why is it the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And they're talking about that Elijah was supposed to come before the kingdom. That's what they're actually asking, because that's what they thought. Now, where did they get this? Well, to understand this, we have to go to the book of Malachi. Now, what I want you to do, you're in Matthew, hold your place, and if you realize Matthew's the first book of the New Testament, guess what the last book of the Old Testament is? It's Malachi. So if you just turn back to the very first of Matthew and turn a few other pages, you're going to get to Malachi. And I want you to turn to Malachi, and I want you to turn to Malachi chapter 3. So it's not very hard. Just turn a few pages back, and you'll be in the Old Testament, and you'll be at Malachi. So I want you to understand, here's the question. Doesn't Elijah have to come before Jesus and the kingdom? That's what they've heard. So look what we find. To go back, you have to go to the Malachi, and I want you to look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. God is speaking. Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, there's one called the messenger who God will send before the Messiah. Does that sound familiar to you? Most of us think of John the Baptist because John the Baptist was the voice crying in the wilderness. This is the messenger who's going to be sent before. So they would say, here's this messenger. Now, the person reading the Bible, they don't know this is long before John the Baptist was born. They would say, oh, this messenger. Who is this messenger? I want you to turn over to Malachi chapter 4. Just flip a page if your Bible's like mine and look at verse 5, because in Malachi 3:1, there's this messenger, but in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, look what it says. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah, the prophet, from before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. Now, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, there's a messenger. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, there's Elijah. Almost everyone said, the scribes included, that the messenger and Elijah were the same people. Now, you got to understand this, or else you won't understand what Jesus is saying. So we've got Malachi says there's a messenger coming. That's chapter 3. And he says that Elijah is coming before the great day of the Lord. By the way, the day of the Lord is basically the beginning of where everything starts with the tribulation and goes to the kingdom. So it says Elijah's supposed to come before the kingdom. Now, here's what was supposed to happen. They would assume that Elijah's going to come as the messenger to go before the Messiah, and he's going to announce the Messiah, and the people will believe in the Messiah. And when they believe in the Messiah, then there comes what's known as the day of the Lord. That's a tribulation time period followed by the kingdom. So if you ask any Jewish person what's going to happen, Elijah would come, announce the Messiah, the nation would believe in the Messiah, and then there would be the kingdom. But that's not what happened. The Messiah was announced, but they didn't believe in the Messiah, and they rejected Jesus Christ. So what happened? We realize this, that the messenger and Elijah are not the same people. And so let's see how it fits. If you turn to Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, you have to have this background before we see Jesus give his answer. Oh, you won't understand it. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 7, Jesus talks about John the Baptist. Look at verse 7. And as these men were going away, Jesus began to speak to them about John. That's John the Baptist. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Look at verse 9. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I'll show you more than a prophet. This is the one by whom it was written, "Behold, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you." That's quoting Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Jesus says that John the Baptist was the messenger. Jesus Christ stated and quoted that John was the messenger in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Luke actually says that John was coming, John the Baptist was coming in the spirit and the power of Elijah. So in Matthew, in Malachi chapter 3, that's John the Baptist. We also know that John the Baptist is the messenger spoken in Malachi 3:1. In Malachi 4:5, it is Elijah who is the one who comes before the day of the Lord. So here's what I want you to understand before Jesus answers. That John is the messenger in 3:1. Elijah is the one in 4:5. I want to show you something. Here's John the Baptist. John the Baptist came and announced Jesus as the Messiah. They rejected him. They killed John, and they killed Jesus. That's the first coming. The second coming is when Elijah comes and announces the kingdom, and Jesus comes as the King of Kings. Malachi 3:1 is talking about this messenger. Malachi 4:5 is talking about this messenger. At this time, nobody understood that. They thought it was the same person. They thought Elijah was going to come here, and there would not be a church age because when they accepted the Messiah, we'd go straight to this. But that's not what happened. They rejected him. And so go back to Matthew chapter 17, and let's go back to the question again so we'll see how it fits. His disciples said to him in verse 10, why didn't the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And he answered and said, Elijah is coming and will restore all things. So he answers it and he says in verse 11 that Elijah is coming. This is future. Elijah will come. And let me just show you again. Let me go back. Elijah's coming here. John came here. They said, I thought Elijah has to come before you, Jesus. He said, he is. He's coming right there. He's coming before the kingdom. And so they've got this question. I thought Elijah had to come, but we don't see him. And Jesus said, John came here. Elijah's coming here. And look what he says. And this is the part that is hard. But I say to you, look at verse 12. I say to you that Elijah already came, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they wished. So also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Now watch the next verse. Then the disciples understood that he had spoken to them about John the Baptist. Do you understand that this is what's going to be hard? That, and I'm going to say this, and you have to think about it. When John came, he came in the spirit and power of Elijah. He announced Jesus is coming. if they would have believed in Jesus, it would have gone straight to here, and there would be the kingdom. And therefore, are you ready for this? John the Baptist would have been Elijah, but he wasn't. They rejected, and so they killed John the Baptist, so Elijah still has to come, and he will come as the king. And they didn't know about the church age. So one of the hardest parts is, he says that Elijah is coming, that's the future, he's going to come, but he says, but Elijah already came. That was John the Baptist, and they didn't recognize him. Why? Because he came in the spirit and power of Elijah, and they rejected him. And here's what we see. Elijah's coming in the future. It was John coming as the messenger. Luke says he came in the spirit and the power of Elijah, and they rejected him. It says they did not recognize him. They did to him whatever they wished. They kill him. And so the Son of Man is going to suffer in the same way. Jesus is going to suffer in the same way. And then, here's what he says, Elijah will come, and then the Messiah and the kingdom will be established. Now, this is a hard passage. And a lot of times people don't take the time to study it. But the bottom line is this. There was supposed to be Elijah come, be the messenger, and start the kingdom. When Elijah came in the form of John the Baptist, they rejected him, killed John the Baptist, and now Elijah will come in the future to set up the kingdom. It's that. Now, I hope it's not too hard. I hope you got that. So here's what we're going to see. Malachi 3:1, John is the messenger. They rejected the Messiah. There is the suffering. That's the first coming of Jesus Christ. Malachi 4:5, Elijah comes before the Messiah, before the kingdom. That's the second coming. That's called the day of the Lord. Here's the first coming, John the Baptist. Here's the second coming, the day of the Lord. That's Elijah. That's what he's talking about. And the disciples got it. And they said, oh, Elijah coming the first time was actually John the Baptist because they rejected him. And that's what we see. So hypothetically, if they would have believed in Jesus Christ as Messiah and Savior, John the Baptist would have been Elijah. But he wasn't, because they didn't. I know that must make sense, but that's what it says. And that's the truth. That's how it fits. We see that sometimes the truths of the scripture are pretty hard to put together. So let me say it one more time. John the Baptist came, announced the Messiah. They rejected him. They killed John the Baptist. He came in the spirit and power of Elijah. And if they were to have accepted Jesus, John the Baptist would have been Elijah. That's what Jesus says. But they didn't. They killed him. They killed Jesus. And the second coming of Jesus, Elijah comes before the second coming of Jesus. You have to study the Bible to put these things together. In fact, let me say this. There's two ways you can study the Bible. You can either study it with your mind made up, or you can study it to make up your mind. And you got to dig the scripture. So one of the things we talk about at our church is to dig the Word of God, is to study it. And as I said, I told my grow group, I said, y'all be praying. This is a really hard passage to explain because it's a hypothetical. Since John the Baptist came and was killed, he took the place of Elijah, but he didn't get to fulfill it, so Elijah's got to come a second time and set up the kingdom. That's the plan. When you study the Bible, let me tell you what it says to do. In 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved to God. A workman need not be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of God. We're to dig the Bible. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow by it. Every one of us in this room need to be studying the Bible. Let me show you something about how to study the Bible. There's a method, and we call it always study the Bible in its context. That's what we do. Always compare scripture with scripture. That's what we try to do. Always do what we call a literal interpretation, which is a literal historical grammatical interpretation. That means the words means what they mean, the verses, the verbs, everything fits together. And then finally, always study the Bible with what we call observation, interpretation, and application. What does it say? What does it mean? What does it mean to me? Every one of us in this room can study the Bible. If you notice on that table as you go out, there's a table out there, and it's got magazines on it, it's got all kinds of things. It's got a bookmark on there. On that bookmark, there is the entire process of observation, interpretation, and application on how to study the Bible for yourself. It's on that bookmark. You pick up that bookmark, you turn it around, and it says observation, and it tells you the questions to ask. Then it says interpretation, and it tells you the questions to ask. And then it says application, and it tells you. So if you never got that, on your way out, stop by that table and pick up the little bookmark that has how do you study the Bible. And so that's a key. Now, if you want to be taught that, just take Brian's class on what we call the 412, and he has two or three or four lessons on how to get into Scripture for yourself. Also, our 2-2 teaches sort of the same sort of things. There's ways that we can study the Bible and put it together. Well, they've come down off the mountain. They said, "We don't get it. I thought Elijah was going to come first." And Jesus said, "Well, Elijah came, but they killed him. So he will come later to set up the kingdom." And then they meant, oh, the one they killed wasn't Elijah. It was John the Baptist. That's who it was. Well, they come down and look what happens. When they came down to the crowd, this is verse 14, and this is what we're going to see now, healing of the little boy. And they came to the crowd. A man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and very ill, and he often falls into the fire, and he falls into the water." Now, when he comes down off, this large crowd is gathered. In fact, some of the other Gospels tell us as Peter, James, and John and Jesus walk toward this crowd, a bunch of people look up, and they start running to Jesus. And it's pretty wild, and they run, and they get to Jesus, and they say, "We need your help." And this man steps forward, and he says, "My son is a lunatic." And it's a kind of a strange word. And he says, "We need mercy. I need your mercy. My son is very, very ill." The word lunatic means moonstruck. It's the word we think of epileptic. He was having some kind of seizures, but he was demon possessed is what was wrong. And sometimes he says the demon tried to throw him in the fire to burn him up. Sometimes the demon tried to throw him in the water to drown him. And he says this statement in verse 16, and we won't get to it until next week. He said, "I brought him to your disciples and they could not cure him." Why not? Why couldn't the disciples cure him? And we'll talk about it next week. And then Jesus says, "Oh, unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I put up with you? How shall I be with you? Bring him to me." He says they're unbelieving because they've rejected him as a nation. Perverted means they twisted the way. And so he brings this little boy. And by the way, the crowd is all in a big circle around. And he brings this boy. And Jesus asks, "How long has this been happening?" And he says, "Ever since he was a young child." Very little. He says, sometimes he tries to throw him in the fire. And sometimes he tries to throw him into the water. And then he makes a statement. He says to Jesus, "Heal him if you can." And so in Mark chapter 9, here's what Jesus says. Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." It is so true that we believe and unbelieve at the same time. There's times we trust God and at the same times we don't trust him. And this man says, "I trust you, but I don't trust you. I want to believe, but I don't believe. Is there something you can do?" And then Jesus says, "Is there something I can do? Of course I can do it. I can do anything." And see, sometimes in our lives, we trust him and sometimes we don't. And it's okay to say, "Oh, Lord, help me. Help me to trust you even more." And look what happened. And Jesus rebuked him. Now, him is not the boy. It's the demon. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. By the way, let me put this up there. Jesus rebuked the demon, and the boy was cured. In one of the other Gospels, it said that when the demon came out of him, the little boy fell to the ground. Because he had already been rolling around, and so he fell to the ground, and the crowd said, "He's dead." They thought he was dead. They said, "He's dead." And Jesus said, "He's not dead." And he picked him up, and he was fine. Jesus cast out this demon. Now, the question that's going to come up is, why couldn't the disciples cast out that demon? We'll see that next time. So let me give you some applications, and let's think about something. Let's learn how to study the Bible. It's so important Because if you notice, the passage that we went and looked at Elijah, and I had to go back to Malachi 3 and Malachi chapter 4, and we had to put that together and had to go to Matthew 6, 13, 14, and I had to go look at the different places to put it together. It is not easy to put together the Bible. And when you start thinking about end time events and the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ and how all these fit together, you have to study. So let's dig the scripture. Let's learn how, for your own self. In fact, that's what I want to put. The first thing is begin your own personal Bible study. Get a time where you're studying the Bible. If you want to study Matthew, you want to study something else, that you begin to dig the Bible yourself. Get one of those cards. Take one of the classes. In fact, take advantage of the ministries of our church. And we have a lot of classes that teach people how to study the Bible, how to get into it themselves. We've got what we call the SBI, which is the Stillwater Bible Institute. We have classes every semester that you can take and get in-depth study. So you want to do that. D.L. Moody said this. He said, God gave us the Bible to change our lives. I remember that Prof. Hendricks would say, what's the purpose of studying the Bible? And everybody'd go, to know the Bible. And he'd go, no. It's to make application so your life would be changed. The reason we study the Bible is not just to say, well, I know Matthew 17. It's to make application in our lives. Let's learn to study the Bible. The second thing, let's understand the end time events. And this passage this morning had some end time events in it, and I want you to think about it. It talked about John the Baptist coming at the first coming of Christ, how he came to die. And then we have Elijah coming at the second coming of Christ, helping set up the kingdom before the what they call the day of the Lord. Sometimes the day of the Lord even includes this part right here. But understand the end time events and how things fit together. It is amazing. Think of what I'm going to say to you. If when John came, we'll say John, and they believed in Jesus Christ as Messiah and Savior, they would have gone from here to here. And John would have been Elijah because he would have fulfilled chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Malachi. But because they rejected John, he is the messenger in 3:1 and Malachi is the messenger in 4:5 and we have the church age. You understand that if the nation of Israel would have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, there wouldn't be a church age. That's why the church was a mystery in the Old Testament. That's why when we studied the book of Daniel, Daniel never saw us. There's the third thing, and that is we got to trust God in the situations of life. What did that man say to Jesus? If you can. And Jesus said, if you can, of course I can. I can do anything. Bring the boy here. Let's take care of it. We need to trust Jesus in everything. He has never leave us or forsake us. What should we fear?